J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something exciting. Our next guest made his stand-up debut. I did not remember that. This man began his television stand-up debut with us 25 years ago.
Didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Very talented actor. Nobody funnier. Ladies and gentlemen, Norm MacDonald.
Thanks, guys. Listen, I don't want to brag or anything, but me and Oprah are making the same money tonight. But the show has loosened up considerably. I noticed I was watching Oprah and Dave talking about weed and booze. I don't do either of those. The hardest drug I ever did, LSD. And I remember as a kid, I was like 16, and I remember they warned me. They said, hey, you got to be careful with that LSD on account of you can get a flashback. 10 years can go by, 20 years, 30 years, and a flashback will happen. So I thought, hey, that seems like a good deal. You tell me I buy a drug for $5, I eat it, I get high, and then 20 years later, I get high again? That's not the point. I like to stretch my drug dollar. The point is this. 10 years have passed, 20 years have passed, 30 years have passed, and no flashbacks. What a jip that turned out to be. Just more horse shit by the big acid companies, that's all it is. But I can't believe it's been a quarter century since I made my television debut. It was all different back then. You know, it was back then, I remember if you wanted to take a picture, you would use a camera. Not a telephone. As a matter of fact, if you used a telephone, people would look at you odd.
Give it up. Just stay still like that.
What about in the old days when they took pictures of you way back, you know, where they pulled that thing and it exploded and stuff? I got a picture of my great-grandfather. The thing took 6 hours to take your picture, and it was a picture of my great-grandfather, one. They only had, every guy had one picture back then. And it's just him, like, I gotta get back feed them hogs. Who's gonna feed the hogs? Somebody gotta feed them hogs. Now, in the future, of course, it'll be different. 50 years from now, people will be going like, hey, you wanna see 100,000 pictures of my great-grandfather? I got him right here, plus everything he did every day of his life. Hey, this occurred to me today. ID, which I had to show it again. There's a strange abbreviation when you think about it. I is short for I. And then D is short for identification. They could have split that one up a little better, you know? But I watch the TV, I watch the news, make you afraid, the news, you know? Put all these stories on, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, you know, try to scare you, you know? But does it ever really scare you? Like, you ever wake up in the middle of the night, North Korea! That little tiny country across the ocean. I wonder if they'll get me. Plus, didn't MASH settle that like 20 years ago? Why do I have to watch that stupid show? There is one country that worries me, though. Not Iraq, not Iran, not North Korea. The only country that really worries me is the country of Germany. I don't know if you guys are history buffs or not, but... in the early part of the previous century, Germany decided to go to war. And who did they go to war with? The world. That had never been tried before. And so you figure that would take about 5 seconds for the world to win, but no, it was actually close. Then about 30 years pass, and Germany decides again to go to war, and again it chooses as its enemy the world. And this time they have that guy, Schrankly, Crankly, that guy. And I'm not even going to dignify him by saying his name, but I think you know what I'm talking But you'd think at that point the world would go, listen, Germany, here's the deal. You don't get to be a country no more on account of you keep attacking the world. What do you think you are, Mars or something? Anyways, listen, folks, this will be my last time on the David Letterman show, I understand. And you know, you guys, we all know that David Letterman was the greatest talk show host who ever lived. But I remember Dave differently, because the first time I saw him, I was 13 years old. I was living in... I was living in Toronto, Canada, and I went to a talk show they had there. And David Letterman was the stand-up comedian on the show. And I loved stand-up. And David Letterman did this joke that I told everybody... This joke, I love this joke. It still stays with me as my favorite stand-up joke ever, so I'd like to do it for you if you'd like to hear it. He goes, I was on the street the other day, and I saw a garbage truck, and on the back of the garbage truck, there was a small sign that said, "Please do not follow too closely." Another of life's simple pleasures ruined by a meddling bureaucracy, ladies and gentlemen. You remember the old days when Dad would pile the kids in the station wagon and we'd all go out and follow a garbage truck? So anyways, I'd just like to say, I know that Mr. Letterman is not for the mawkish. And he has no truck for the sentimental. But if something is true, it is not sentimental. And I say in truth, I love you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, September 15th edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast is... coming into your ears right now here at jcontheline.com. How you doing? Well, yeah, the Norm Macdonald thing, that really upset me. He's only 61 years old, apparently had been battling cancer for 9 years and didn't tell anybody about it. Apparently didn't even tell friends and family. what was going on. That might be how I would do it. If I went to the doctor, I got a doctor's appointment today after the podcast. Okay, the doctor says to me, hey, look, you've got 6 months to live. Unless it's like the old Henny Youngman joke. Went to my doctor. He said he gave me 6 months to live. I couldn't pay the bill. He gave me another 6 months. Good morning, everybody. But that might be how I would do it. If I got what is, in essence, a death sentence, I think I might keep it to myself. You know, I don't, I'm not one of those guys who wants to inconvenience anybody. And, you know, someday if I'm like, you know, 90 years old and I think that I am presenting too much of a burden, and just think about the financial burden alone, just that alone, not to mention the psychological impact of everything. And you've got to have a room for me. It's got to be one of those rooms, you know, where you can't fall down, hurt yourself. Got to have a bathroom. Got to have something for me to do all day. I don't want to stick anybody with that. A lot of people don't know this. Norm got his break in Hollywood writing for Roseanne and The Dennis Miller Show back in 1992. Joined Saturday Night Live a year later and did the Weekend Update thing. Got fired from the whole show because Don Allmeyer, the NBC executive, was friends with O.J. Simpson. And after O.J. chopped off two people's heads, Don Allmeyer didn't like that Norm was always sticking OJ on Weekend Update, and so they bounced him off the show. Adam Sandler said, quote, every one of us loved Norm. Some of the hardest laughs of my life was with this man. Most fearless, funny, original guy we knew, an incredible dad, a great friend, a legend, love you, pal. Conan O'Brien, I'm absolutely devastated about Norm MacDonald. Norm had the most unique comedic voice I've ever encountered, and he was so relentlessly and uncompromisingly funny. I will never laugh that hard again. I am sad for all of us. Jon Stewart said, no one could make you break like Norm MacDonald. Hilarious and unique, fuck cancer. Seth Rogen, I was a huge fan of Norm MacDonald, and I essentially ripped off his delivery when I first started acting. I would stay up specifically to watch him on talk shows. He was the funniest guest of all time. We lost a comedy giant today. One of the greats. Rest in peace. And finally, David Letterman, in every important way in the world of stand-up, Norm was the best, an opinion shared by me and all peers. Always up to something, never certain until his matter-of-fact delivery leveled you. Back in the mid-90s, we had Norm in the studio, and it was one of those things where the comedian comes walking in at like 8 o'clock in the morning looking like death warmed over, and Norm was no exception. You got the distinct impression he really didn't want to be there, but he made the best of it. We had a great time with him.
Tell people about where you came from. We know you're Canadian, and beyond that, just did some stand-up and ended up on Saturday Night Live. What do we not know about Norm MacDonald?
I was going to be a hockey player.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How close did you come?
I played junior B.
Really?
Yeah, I was a great hockey player, but
position?
I wasn't good enough. I played defense at first, and then I was too weak. I had to play left wing. I played against Gretzky.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and Pee Wee, I played against Wayne Gretzky. We had a Pee Wee tournament, and he came. He was from Brantford. I was from Quebec City.
You guys were about how old at this time?
12.
And I hear stories that even at age 12, Gretzky was amazing to watch.
Oh, yeah. He scored 16 goals. Because they're even more dominant.
Sports, no.
It was like playing with your dad or something. The guy just like...
Yeah, this is another one of those ones that sort of stings. And it confirms what I've been saying for the last few years, unfortunately, that this is what we have in store for about the next decade, decade and a half. We're going to lose everybody. You realize that? We're going to lose everybody. We're going to lose at least one more of the Rolling Stones. We're going to lose, like, you know, Steve Martin. I think he's like 75 or 76 now, although he looks good. The unexpected ones are the ones that get you, like the Tom Petty thing. He was only 66, you know, and nobody really knew what was going on until it was too late. And somebody who isn't supposed to go is going to go. You know, some big actor like a Russell Crowe or something like that, who's only probably in his 50s, is going to go, because that's what happens. Everything is fine. You get into your 50s and then things start breaking. And unfortunately, sometimes things are breaking. You don't realize they are, again, until it's too late. I always worry about Tom Hanks because he has done a lot of movies where he had to put on a lot of weight. Well, not a lot, but a couple where he had to put on a lot of weight and then lose the weight and then put the weight back on, be a normal person. But, you know, he did that for Philadelphia. He did that for Castaway. I'm trying to think if he did it for another movie too. I can't think right now, but even if you do it twice, God, that shit is tough on your heart. That is really, really tough on your primary organs. So I always worry about him. It's not going to be a good decade, folks. It's not going to be a good decade. Cardinals bullpen last night did everything they could think of to lose their game on the road with the Mets, but somehow they pulled it out by a run. And right now, we got a piece of that final wild card. For about 10 days, I stopped watching the Cardinals because I just didn't want to put myself through it because it just looked like they were meandering. They were floundering, and I don't want to witness that. But now I'm back to watching every pitch again. It's pretty exciting, to be honest. 1985, on this date, I was at the Kiel Auditorium. Maybe you were too, for Joe Walsh and Foreigner. I had really, really good seats for that show. I was sitting in, like, I don't know, like the second or third row, and those guys were hopped up on something. And I mean, they were hopped up on something good. That's all I'll say. Gavin Newsom comes out of this thing, and there's a lot of people analyzing the shit out of it, making it a referendum on Trump, on COVID, everything like that. Really, what it boils down to is that the message of Gavin, you know, he's done a lot of, you know, mask mandates and, you know, vaccine and stuff like that. And that's very popular in a place like California. Larry Elder, who emerged, there were 46 candidates on the ballot. Larry Elder emerged as his primary competition. And Larry Elder is running around saying really, really ridiculous stuff. Like women don't, women shouldn't have time off for maternity leave. You know, stuff like that. Where you're like, huh? And at his radio show, he had, don't ever put people from a radio show in positions of authority, okay? We're all a bunch of knuckleheads, and you got to say and you got to do things to get people to listen. And, you know, I've always been careful, you know, I don't want to be irresponsible. I want to rock the boat. I want to, you know, that term cutting edge always comes in. And so you got to do all that stuff. But at the same time, you don't want to do something where you become just vilified by, you know, because you said or you did something that was totally irresponsible. And even though I never did, I got accused of it. And a lot of people think I have. So I don't know. Maybe there isn't any difference after all. But anyhow, there will be no new governor in the state of California. Stan Kroenke loses again. This was a story that has broken early this morning. You know, Kroenke keeps trying to get this thing dismissed, this lawsuit with the city of St. Louis. City of St. Louis says, look, you told us if we did all of this stuff that you would stay here with the team. So we did it all. But Kroenke was lying all along, and he wasn't bargaining in good faith. And that's fraud, and to the tune of about $20 million. You know, all those blueprints and stadium designs and little models and, you know, all the legal work that had to be done, you know, that really starts piling up after a while. So the city of St. Louis said, we want our money back. And Stan's got it. He just doesn't want it. He doesn't want the blemish on his professional record, you know? So he keeps trying to get the thing dismissed, and he has lost every legal challenge. This thing will probably be adjudicated on the front steps of the courthouse the day that the thing is set to go to trial, because there's no way Stan is going to want the details of what a schmuck he is to be known in detail by the residents of these here United States. We'll get our money back. We'll get it back. It'll take some time, but we're going to get it back. I am in love with Allie Raceman. Oh, my God. What is she, like 26 now? Oh, man. I wish I was 50 again so I could hit on her. that was a joke. Okay. No, I'm serious. Not only do I find her just ravishing to look at, but also when she starts talking that, she means fucking business. You know, I find that very, very attractive in a woman. I mean, for a gal that young to have been traumatized like all these other female athletes. Well, get another breaking news story just this morning. The FBI fired the agent who was supposed to be in charge of the investigation into this Larry Nassar, who was abusing all these young girls. And apparently he was in some sort of conspiracy, I guess you would say, with the IOC, the International Olympic Committee. And you know, all these documents are being revealed right now as a part of this investigation into Larry Nassar. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. This guy was supposed to do this. He didn't do that. We did everything we told him to do, he didn't do. And the FBI is coming along, looking at all this, going, get rid of this guy. So they fired him this morning. You know, that's sort of unusual when not only that somebody from the FBI would get fired, but also that it would go public. I mean, that is their job, to do shit and not have anybody find out about it. How this happened, I think, is as good a story as the actual story itself. How did the FBI end up firing this guy and making it public? But I mention all this because Simone Biles, Allie Raceman, and a half a dozen or so other of the gymnastics from the Olympics, the gymnastics gals, are going to be testifying on Capitol Hill today, and it ain't going to be pretty. It's one thing to be a pervert. It's another thing to be a pervert preying on girls who are like 12 and 13. And then also on top of all that, he's just hideous looking. I guess this was the only action he figured he could get. Speaking of sports, Aaron Rodgers blamed an interception he threw against the Saints on Sunday on what he called a double nut shot. Here's the quote. Right before I'm throwing, I took a left kind of clothesline and somebody on the right with a right kind of cross. Double nut shot. End quote. Packers lost to the Saints 38-3. Long time ago, there was a movie put out by Ivan Reitman. This was not one of his better movies. Ivan Reitman directed Dave, for heaven's sakes. That movie is darn near perfect. You really have to know what you're doing to be able to do a movie like Dave. And he had such great people in it. Kevin Kline, obviously. Kevin Dunn. Kevin Dunn is a Chicago actor. He's been in a lot of John Hughes movies. And he was the guy that played the speech writer in that movie. And we had him on the air once, and I was talking about just that scene alone. Kevin Dunn also was the guy who played Jennifer Aniston's boss at the advertising agency in Picture Perfect. This guy's a really, really good actor. But Ivan Reitman makes good movies. This one was not one of the best. But I was invited on the junket to go out to California and interview Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger and the other people in the movie. And I just tried to make the best of it, even though the movie was really dumb. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito are twins. Well, they're going to start filming the sequel early next year. And in this one, it turns out they have a third brother. They were supposed to have Eddie Murphy in that role. He's too busy now. So they got Tracy Morgan, and Tracy will probably do a good job. I'm going to get you pregnant. If you ever wonder how much people make, you know, actors make for stuff. Jason Sudeikis doing that Ted Lasso thing. He's getting $1 million per episode for the third season of Ted Lasso. $1 million an episode. That'll take some of the sting off that Olivia Wilde situation. After the final episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine airs tomorrow night, the cast will appear on Late Night with Seth Meyers. Sopranos creator David Chase livid that the prequel movie, The Many Saints of Newark, is hitting HBO Max the same day it's released in theaters. And there's all sorts of reasons for that, usually having to do with the negotiated contracts, which guarantee money, what they call on the back end, meaning that, okay, we won't pay you a ton of money to do this, but you get basically a percentage of the take. But if the movie is coming on HBO Max, that hurts the theatrical numbers on the thing, and you don't get as much money. And this is the second big case like that in recent months. They're going to have to work this out because it's going to keep coming back. All right, late night tonight, somebody named Ben Platt, I don't know who that is on with Jimmy Fallon. Bill Maher is coming back, so he'll do Kimmel tonight. Stephen Colbert's got Jessica Chastain, always. Oh, she's doing that The Eyes of Tammy Faye Baker movie. It's supposed to be pretty good. James Corden, Cedric the Entertainer, and Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. BJ Novak on with Seth Meyers. Birthdays today: Prince Harry, Meghan Markle's husband, 37. Dan Marino, former Isotoner glove salesman. Oh, he played some football too. He's 60 today. Oliver Stone, 75. Couple of good movies, couple of really stupid movies, but he made Platoon and Wall Street, Born on the 4th of July, stuff like that, 75. And a great cameo, speaking of Ivan Reitman in the movie Dave, a great, great cameo with him and Larry King. Oh, my God. Got one of the biggest laughs in the entire movie when I saw it in the theater. 75 years old today. Tommy Lee Jones, 75, former roommate of Al Gore in college. Gaylord Perry, Hall of Famer, 83. Lost in Space was released on this date in 65. First issue of USA Today published on this date 39 years ago. The sports album from Huey Lewis and the News released on this date 38 years ago in 1983. Fen-Phen pulled off the market 24 years ago in 1997. Tell that to Attilio. And 2 years ago, Rick Ocasek of the Cars died at the age of 75. And nobody had any idea he was that old. And nobody had any idea that his name was pronounced Ocasek. And it wasn't until we had Pauline Portizkova on the air with us that I said, just once and for all, because I have heard that the correct pronunciation is not Ocasek, then it's Ocasek. Please, since you're married to him, and technically it is now your last name too, please tell us the correct pronunciation. And she said, it's Ocasek. And to this day, when I say Ocasek, people still tell me I'm mispronouncing it, and they think I'm an idiot because I don't know the correct pronunciation. No, it's you. A new poll asked 7,000 Americans, and over a third of us have been in a fight. 36% said yes, including 23% of women and half of men. And 23% of people say they've been in more than one fight in their life. Younger people, less likely to say they've been in a fight. Less than a quarter of adults under 25 said yes. And the age group that's thrown the most punches is people in their late 30s and mid-40s. 44% say they have been in a fight before. The average dinner lasts 15 minutes longer than it did before the pandemic. Not everybody sits down for dinner every night, but when we do, we now stay at the table for an average of 1 hour and 25 minutes. I have a very good friend. He's a Harvard professor and a professor at Washington University. And over the years, John has become one of the world's most, I guess you would say, foremost authorities on lizards. And he's always on these trips to all these, you know, bizarre tiny little islands and finding weird variations of lizards. There are some blue lizards. I think it's off the coast of, what is it, Belize, if my memory serves me correctly. And he's written all these books about lizards. And honest to God, when you know, somebody sitting in Australia says, let's get a lizard expert on, John is often the guy who they call because he's that well known in the lizard community. And he has now shifted his attention towards house cats and has been doing research for the last couple of years and is going to be publishing a book very soon on house cats. So I'm going to send him this story and just see if he has this. I think he's getting ready to publish this book. Anyhow, you know, sometimes you go to somebody's house and you can be a cat person and there's the cat. And for some reason, the cat doesn't dig you. And you're like pleading with the cat. No, 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 no. I'm not one of those cat haters. I'm not going to hurt you. I like cats. Come here. Come here. And you know, that sort of stuff. So here are 7 ways to make a cat like you. Number 1, let them come to you. A study in Switzerland found they're more likely to approach you if you ignore them, and another study found interactions last longer if they initiate them. Number 2, get down on their level. They're less likely to feel intimidated if you're down low. Number 3, hold one finger out. You may have already noticed they like it. Researchers think it's because cats greet each other nose to nose, so your finger simulates that. Number 4, only pet them where they like it. This is where I make the mistake. I start petting a cat and it starts liking it and purring a little bit. And so I start maybe scratching its back and down near the tail and then, you know, that sort of stuff. In general, they like it on their face, their head, and their chin. Most cats don't like their back, stomach, feet, or tail to be touched at all. Number 5, play with them more. They'll start to feel more comfortable around you if you do. And if they're active during the day, they're more likely to sleep at night with you. Number 6, talk to them when they eat. It helps them associate your voice with the good feelings they get from food. Let me tell you something. When I open the cat food, the canned cat food, not only am I not going to stay in the room, I'm going to go outside because that shit stinks. And I've had cats most of my life, and I will never, ever get to the point where I am not bothered by the smell of cat food. And finally, number seven, if it's a kitten, handle them a lot. Cats that get picked up a lot as kittens tend to be friendlier towards humans and adults. But don't pick them up when they're eating, sleeping, or cleaning themselves. It stresses them out. Well, given the fact that a cat sleeps about 18 hours a day, that doesn't really give you a lot of opportunity. Because they sleep all day, they wake up usually to clean themselves and to eat, and then they go back to bed. So I'm not sure that we use the last couple of minutes here wisely, because that may have just wasted everybody's time. Okay, the nutty news. Some guy recently got caught posing as a tour guide at Disney World so he could skip all the lines. He somehow got access to an official Disney iPad that their tour guides use. They kicked him out of the park, but they decided not to press charges. Two workers at a Five Guys burger joint in Pennsylvania got into a fight on Sunday after one of them said the other wasn't working hard enough. So the guy accused him of being lazy and pulled out a pen and stabbed the other guy in the head with it. Luckily, he wasn't seriously hurt. The guy with the pen is facing felony assault charges for the next few minutes after the incident. I'm assuming it went down to about two or three guys. A woman in Indiana drunkenly crashed into her husband's car on Monday night. She was on her way to pick him up after he drunkenly crashed into a tractor trailer. They were both arrested. The supposed anti-sex cardboard beds that Olympians slept on in Japan are now being used as beds for sick COVID patients. And a vehicle in Madison, Wisconsin swerved to avoid a chipmunk on Monday and crashed into the side of a brick building. Nobody was injured. And the New Orleans Saints are experiencing a COVID outbreak. Some members of the team are so lethargic and unfocused, they were mistaken for Green Bay Packers. And with that, another J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jconline.com is in the can. We publish every weekday morning at 7 o'clock. It's absolutely free. We archive them so you can binge if you want. Email me at jc@jconline.com. Follow me on Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. And we'll be back again tomorrow morning bright and early at 7. Enjoy your day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.